Good evening.
It's good to be with all be with you this evening. Always enjoy getting to be here. It's been a while. I think I turned this on. Yeah. All right. It's good to join you. This is stop number four for us on the preacher exchange. He sent us to Mark makes the schedule. He sent the first three stops for places I'd never been before. And now the last two I'm pretty familiar with. We'll be here this month, and then in 2 months we'll be in Cerrito. And so we are excited to get to be here this evening. And we are on a tri-state tour. I call it that. I get to do those often, but I haven't done one since the year started. But we started in Ironton this morning. Then there was a friends and family day that I went and preached. We went over there right after worship services in Ironton this morning. So we had friends and family day and a dinner. We landed right on top of a nice turkey dinner, so you can't beat that. And that was in West Virginia, and now we get to wrap up the day in Kentucky. So we enjoy that. I told the folks there that the people in Ironton thank them because they got a break from me. And they hear me three times a day, so I'd say they're glad. So they probably thank you for the same thing. Brother Barry Kelly is there from Greasy Ridge, which if you've never been there, take a trip. It's a fun drive if you do it their way. Do it the way the phone tells you. And not the way that you actually should go, and it'll take you a little while, but it was a good trip. So it's always good to see you. I'm going to come up here because I want to, and I feel like you're a long way away. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 tonight. Matthew chapter 25 is what we're going to take a look at, and it's a fairly familiar parable that we will examine. We understand talent. We know what talent is, no matter what your love is in life, whatever your passion or your hobby is, there's a form of talent that you can observe. If you love art, you notice artists who are talented. I don't, and so I don't really recognize a whole lot of that, but I go into places and look at it and know that it must have been for it to make it to the museum. And so we understand talent because it got there, but I don't understand art. But if you love art, you would understand that. If you love sports, maybe you're a fan of baseball. You understand what talent looks like. We know talent. I've told many of you the story. I think I told it in Bible class here, so if you've already heard it, it's not the first time you've heard me retell a story. When I was in the seventh grade, my dad was a brand new middle school principal, Johnson County Middle School. It had just opened. And I was coming in from an elementary school, and we had five elementary schools, so everybody was decent. Then everybody got to play, you know, and everybody thought they were good at stuff. So we go out to basketball practice, and it's tryout time. We never tried out for anything. We didn't know. My dad's the principal. My odds are good. And so I go and I try out. Built much like I am now, a little bit smaller, but let's be honest, you know where this is heading. So I try out and go to day one, and I work really hard, and I'm really proud of how hard I worked, but, you know, it was about the best I was going to do. Go to day two, I'm really proud. Came home, Dad said, how'd it go? I was sweating. I looked like I'd worked hard. Looked like I'd done really good. Day three was when we had our little meeting at the end where they told you how good you'd done. I thought I did all right. They brought me in the office, the head coach and the assistant coach, and they set me down. They said to me a phrase that I'll never forget in all my life, and I'm not angry about it. I actually appreciate what they did for me that day. Davey, we love you. We'd love to have 13 just like you, but we're not going to be able to keep you. I thought, you know, even as a seventh grader, I thought, man, you'd be terrible if you can't even keep one of me and you had a whole team of me. Those guys recognized talent in the other 13 guys, not in me. I wasn't terribly talented. You know, it ended up that as a result of that, I started doing radio and PA, and I currently do the PA for football games, and I fill in on the radio quite often, and I can guarantee you if they'd have kept me, I wouldn't have still in my adult life been doing what I did on that next day, because I would have still not been playing basketball. And so we understand talent is different. Each of our talents are different. You may be good at something that I'm not good at. You may be not so good at something that I'm good at. You may question if this is really my talent at all tonight, but for the next 40 minutes, you're going to have to hear it. So hang on and hope that it is. And so we consider talent and we consider how people function in life. And I think as we consider this parable, we can look at talent. Now, obviously, here the understanding of the talent is going to be that this is a monetary understanding, but we can make comparisons. John Wooden said this, talent is given, be humble. Fame is man-given, be grateful. Conceit is self-given, be careful. I think it's really important for us as Christians when we consider the talent, the abilities, and opportunities that God gives to us, not to be confused as to where every bit of that came from. Not one thing that we do, not one thing that we accomplish is not as a result of God first giving us the ability and the talent to do it. And when I lose sight of that, no matter what work I do, no matter what thing I'm engaged in, I'm not going to be successful. Because I think John Wooden lays it out pretty nice by giving God the first credit. That's where my talent comes from. And then from there, I can only mess that up. When I begin to become conceited, when I begin to think how great I am and I forget the fact that God put me in that position in the first place, then I'm going to be extremely arrogant. George Lucas said everybody has talent. It's just a matter of moving around until you've discovered what it is. Irma Bombeck said this, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and can say, I used everything you gave me. Think about that. Thinking about standing in front of God on judgment and talking to God about what He's given us, the abilities, the opportunities He's given us, and to be able to say, God, I feel like I've worked really hard at that. Or the other answer is to say, yeah, God, I probably could have done better. I probably could have used the abilities and the talents you gave me to better serve you, and I didn't. What's that answer going to look like when we spend time with God? We see here in if you backed up to 24:3, you'd see here that Jesus is teaching from the Mount of Olives. And He's discussing judgment. It's a discussion here on the time of return. And we'll back up into 24 for just a second here later in the sermon. And the point being in all of His teaching is this. Always be prepared. Always be prepared for the return because we do not know when that's going to occur. And so we get over here into the parable in 25. And it's going to begin in verse 14. It says this. For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. So what we have here is this man who has servants. This master who has servants who's going to bring them to him. And he's going to say, I'm going on a journey. I'm going to be gone. But here's what I need you to do. I want you to take portions of my property. He entrusted them with it. He said, well, what's that property? Let's move on here to the next verse. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, then he went away. I think it's key to understand this. Not every one of them just got 5 talents. He didn't just say, I'm going to give all of you 5 talents and see what you do with it. That's not at all what he said. Everyone had a different ration of talent. Everyone had a different means to use. As this master was gone. I think that's important to hang on to, and we'll get back there in just a minute. Verse 16, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So what did the 5-talent person do? Immediately made 5 more talents. Now I think we need to understand here, just real quick, what we're talking about with a talent. We see here that this is a significant amount of money. This would be a significant means of money. Not necessarily a perfect measure that I've found, but we're talking big time amounts. A great sum of money I've seen it described as, but to give you an exact number, I don't feel like I would be accurate if I did that. Josephus, in his history, said that an annual tribute to Herod Antipas was 200 talents. So, annually, there would be 200 of these that would be given as a tribute. Small fortune, it's been described by some. So we see that this is a lot of money. When we consider the talent that it's being discussed here, it's significant. And I think when we think about the work that we do as Christians, the talent that we've been given from God is also significant. Because He's given that to us in order to do the greatest work that's going to be done on this earth. This is not a sum of money. This is not a car. This is not a home. This is not what we're talking about. But we are talking about abilities to do God's work. Abilities to be involved in the work of the Lord. And I tell you that there is no work that we will do that's greater. I have great faith in my profession. I'm very proud of what I do. And I watched a video today. Someone was criticizing public schools and I was angry about it. And because I take that personal. because I think what I do is a very special thing. But I'll say this, it's still not greater by any means than the work that we do as Christians, because we are sharing the greatest gift that we could possibly share, the message of the gift of love from God. And so when we think about this talent that we've been given and the opportunity that we've been given, it is so significant that it's hard to measure. And I think that's why it's a nice tie here to the talent, that we see that it's hard sometimes for us to measure, and that, to give you an exact number, I don't think that I can. And so we see the five-talent man has taken it and he's doubled it. What we know is he had an amount. He doubled that amount. He immediately went and did something with his talent. We'll come back to that. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had the one went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. All right, so here's our setup. Here's what we have to understand as we go through and we wrap up the remainder of this lesson. We have the guy who has the five talents. He goes, he gets to work immediately, and just like that, doubles it. The two talents, just like that. Doubles it. The one talent. He goes and finds a shovel, digs it in the hole. It's still the same. We have 10, 4, 1. Started with 5, 2, 1, if you haven't seen the pattern. And so we go here. Now, after a long time, how long? We don't know. There's no discussion here of how long it is before the master returns in verse 19. But now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So what happens? The master returns. What did I tell you? In 24, what was the discussion about? It was about judgment. The return of Christ and being prepared in the return of Christ. So now he's drawing in this understanding of you've been given talent, you've been given opportunity, and with this talent and with this opportunity, you have to be prepared to answer for that. And when is that? Well, after a long time, the master returns. There's no set time. There's no set amount of time to use our talent. But he's going to come back in verse 20, and he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you have delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. It's a good answer, isn't it? Here's the talent that you've given me, and here is what I have done with it. I have made gain. You have profited as a result of my work. The parallel here as a Christian. You have given me ability. You have given me talent. And I've gone out, God, and I have made gain for your kingdom. I have worked for you. So what happens? Well, the next gentleman here, and he who also, verse 22, had the two talents came forth, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, just as he said up here, I'm sorry, I skipped 21. He's going to say it again here. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. What's the master say? Good job. Now, I think it's significant to see this. One had now 10 talents. One had 10 talents. The other had 4. What was the answer that they received? The same thing. Well done. You've been good and faithful. You've been a servant of mine. This is a key point, I think, for us to understand as we study this information. Because we see that each of us have different roles. Each of us have different responsibilities and different talents that we can put forth. And God's not up measuring how many people we have brought to Him. God's not up there measuring the amount of time that we've worked. What God looks is for us to use our talent to benefit His kingdom. And so your talent may not be one that is visual and puts you on the back of the bulletin or puts you on the front of the bulletin as an elder or deacon, but it may be one where you've made a difference in the life of someone. If you're sending out cards. Sister Gloria, she's not here this evening, but Gloria still to this day, when I started working with the Ironton congregation, every once in a while I'd get a card in the mail. I don't get a lot of cards. I usually get them on my birthday. I'm kind of in that generation where we don't appreciate a good card like we should. And so nobody ever sends me one. And I never send one to anybody because I really don't do a good job with that at all. So I don't get a lot. And so every once in a while when I get a card, you know, I'm kind of interested. You know, it's not a bill, so I'm pumped. You know, they don't ever send those in a Hallmark envelope. And so I rip that thing open right out there every single time. Every single time Gloria sent me a card, I've opened it in the road. Because I don't open the Spectrum bill. I don't even open it inside. I know on the 22nd, I better send them some money. Or on the 23rd, Miranda's going to be asking me why the television doesn't work. And I get it. But a card, I open it up. And she always cuts out little clippings for me that are really funny. And it's the sweetest thing. Because I love it. I have them all. I have them all in a desk drawer. That means something to me. That's special to me. You didn't know that until just now. Because I told you. She didn't tell you. But it was something important. When you think about talents, I think about that. I think about a card when someone's sick that they open up that says, hey, I've missed you the last 2 weeks. Because that means something. That means that you cared enough that you noticed they weren't there. That means that you cared enough that you missed them. And you took the time to put a stamp on something. I don't ever have a stamp. Like literally, one of the greatest things about sending a card is I have to go to the post office and get a stamp. That has been something that's been a good effort on my part. I won't question the Postal Service. I made a joke about the Postal Service one time, and there was a guy that worked for him. He got really angry, so I don't do that anymore. But we see that. And you know, anymore, you don't have to send a card. If you miss somebody, send a text. But that's something that's not going to go on the bulletin. There was not one thing. I pulled the bulletin just to make sure you haven't added this. There's not one thing that says card sender for the week. I knew who the song leader was going to be when I walked in. It's going to be Jeremiah. It's on the back of the bulletin. Actually, I get it on Thursday still. Thanks, Jane. And so I knew. But card sender wasn't there. But it's important. Telling somebody that you missed them when you run into them on the street, it's not there, but it's important. And that may be the only soul that you impact, but it's a soul that God loves. And so when you consider talent, I don't know if you consider card sender as a five talent or a two talent. What I do consider it is a talent. And it's a difference maker for the kingdom of God. And so when we see the five-talent guy and the two-talent person, and one had 10 now, and one had 4, the master doesn't go, you with 10, well done, you good and faithful servant, you're 6 better than this guy. That's not what was said. Well done, you good and faithful servant. He's proud of them because they took the talent that they had, whatever that is, and they benefited the kingdom because of it. The master benefited because they did something with their talent. Doesn't have to be the same. Doesn't have to be the same. There was a gentleman baptized at the Friends and Family Day this morning. And it was interesting the number of people who had worked with him to help get him to the point where he decided to become a Christian. And we think about how that could be a small thing, it could be a big thing. But just to acknowledge that he was there was a big thing for him because he didn't have a background in the church. But when people take the time to say, how you doing? When people take the time to talk to someone, and then when someone becomes a Christian and people wrap their arms around them and come and they see them and they love on them, it's important because it demonstrates family and it demonstrates love, and everybody needs to see the love of God's people. And so we see here the five talent and the two talent, and then we get down here to the other guy. Poor fella. He gummed this all up. Verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. So here he comes. We got the five-talent guy, he's got 10. You got the two-talent guy, he's got 4. The one-talent guy brings the dirty talent. He says, here, I buried it. I did not want to mess this up. You're the master. What if I'd have lost it? What if I'd have invested it and I ended up coming to you and being like, I got nothing? So I just went and hid it. I took my talent and I hid it. I don't think it's hard to figure out what the master's getting ready to do here. He was real happy with the 5 that went to 10 and the 2 that went to 4. What's he going to say here to this guy? Well, it's not hard to figure out. So, 26. But his master answered him, you wicked but slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. What's he say? You did nothing. You didn't even invest it in the bank. Even if you'd have just dropped it off at the bank, I would have at least gotten a little bit of interest. If you would have done the bare minimum, something would have happened. But instead, you hid your talent. You did nothing. And it brings me to my thought here as we move toward the end of the sermon. Because I think that we all have talent. God didn't make anyone without any talent. Now, yours is different than someone else's. What's the whole discussion in Scripture about the church being like a body? My arm's got a job. It's not the same as my leg. My nose has got a job. Not the same as my mouth. If I tried to preach this sermon through my nose, you probably wouldn't be able to hear it, but it would sound really funny. Wow, well, my mouth's got a job, my nose's got a job, my eyes got a job, my ears have got a job. Everybody's using their mouth right now. None of us know what in the world was going on. But everyone has a role. Everyone has an ability. The body has different functions. You may not think that you're a five-talent person. That's all right. You're still a one-talent person. God gave you something. And if you don't think your talent is a five talent, first of all, I question that, because what you're doing with that talent is changing souls. You're helping souls to understand God better. And even if you just do it with one talent, that's better than any other work you'll ever do. But what we see here is no matter what you find that talent to be, maybe you find the role of one person to be real significant and I'm just a little person. That's fine. Don't bury that talent. And if you have a talent, don't be afraid to use it. I tell you this, maybe you don't want to be a preacher. It's fun. I love it. I preached 3 sermons today, just so you know. So if you want to be, try it. You'll like it. I wasn't sure I was going to do it, and I love it. And so if you think you have that talent, try it. People let you know. You can read people's faces most of the time. Then you'll find out if you got that one. So you get up and use that. But maybe that's not what your talent is. That's okay. My dad did a wedding yesterday. He did a funeral today. It's a tough run right there. You know, weddings and funerals are the two hardest things you'll do in this deal. And he had back-to-back days, so he was a little nervous. He doesn't want to be a preacher. He's an elder, and he likes that role better than preaching. And so we were working with verses this morning for the graveside service, and he did it because they asked him to do it and because it was people who were special to him. You know, when we think about your role, maybe it's not to be a preacher. Maybe it's not to be a song leader. I've stood up here many times and sang songs that it wasn't even close when I started it. And that's okay. I still do it because, you know, I was on the list. Matt put me on there. And so I got up and did it. Maybe that's not your role. But security is a good role. I feel safe right now because Greg's out there watching for us. It's important, too. In today's world, it's more and more and more important. Checking to make sure everybody's here. That's important. Ice cream social, planning that, that's important. Every role is important. VBS, people work so hard on VBS. Why? That's important. Kids come back. Kids get to learn about God, and sometimes they only get to learn about it for that week because somebody put them on a band. Because it was 2 hours and school's out of session right now. Maybe they needed a break. That's okay. They came to hear about God's word. And so when we consider talent, you can measure talents however you want. I think talents are pretty even. If we're impacting God with them, they're significant and they're a great amount, whether it's 1 or 5. But I think this, you may say, can't do that preaching. Can't lead that singing. I'm not getting up there to lead a prayer. I'm not presiding over the Lord's table. I'm just not comfortable with that. Or maybe that's not even an option to be your role. I'm not a good cook, so cooking for dinners may not be my thing. Here's what I tell you. There is someone you know who is not a child of God. They need you. And I promise you this. You can have a smile on your face, and you can be a loving, kind person, and eventually open the door to tell them about God. And now you've used your talent. It's never any trouble just to SMILE. We sing that sometimes. I was going to sing that at VBS over at Ironton, and they didn't know that one, I don't think. And so I didn't. But it's a true statement. If you smile and you're really nice to people, that's a talent God has given you. Because people need to see that God's people are nice and love each other. And that they love them. And as you're happy and as you're kind, you open up doors to teach. And if you just teach one person, that's a soul that God loves. So don't bury your talent. Don't bury your talent because God's expectation is that we use it. So what happened? Verse 27. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't it an interesting thought that you can be given talent by God, but you can end up not spending eternity in heaven? That you can be in a place with weeping and gnashing of teeth? It's a sad thought, isn't it? But what do we do as the alternative? Well, we get to work for God. And it's interesting, I think, that it's been placed here in this order of discussion of judgment. Because when we think about the return of Christ, we don't know when that's going to be. We know that in Matthew 24, 50, it says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. In verse 13, right before this parable began, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And I think there's a great point to be made right here. Maybe you don't. I like it. It's this. I don't want to answer to God and say, I was going to use that tomorrow. I don't want to answer to God and say, God, I know there were all these people who needed to hear about you. I know there were all these people who needed to see your love, your kindness, and the hope that I have through me. And if Christ just hadn't come back today, tomorrow I think I would have gotten around to it. See, these guys with the 5 talents and the 2 talents got to work. They used what they had and they made it happen. And I think it's interesting that the discussion here takes place when he's talking about judgment. And so I think there's a challenge for us as we wrap up. I have more to this, but obviously, as always, I ran out of time. I think there's a challenge here for all of us. And I hope this is what we see as the challenge set before us. Because I think there's a lot of different directions that this parable goes. I think there's discussion here of not really physical talents at times, but there are. But I do think that it's definitely not about money and it's really about work. And so I think the challenge is this. Uncover your talent. If you haven't identified what it is, do that. You know, we did that in a class downstairs not too long ago. We filled out a paper in the men's class down there. And that was an interesting thing because, you know, it was really what do you want to do. But it was also an opportunity to uncover talent. You know, if you haven't led a prayer, step out and do that. You pray to God every day. You talk to God every day. Stand up and lead a prayer to Him. It's the same God. The only thing holding you back is worrying about what other people think. And good Christian brothers and sisters are going to encourage you and love you when you stand up and do that. Step out a little bit. Uncover your talent. Go find other people to love and care about. But always assure that at the end of the times, when judgment occurs and we stand before God, He doesn't say, I gave you this. I gave you these abilities. Now, you used them for your job. You used them for your family. But you didn't use them for the kingdom of God. Never, never let that be the case. We all have talents. We all have abilities. And we all have the opportunity that we can go out and impact souls. And this world needs Christians to turn it up. This world needs Christians to be excited. It needs the message of Christ out in it because that's a message of love and kindness. And you only got to turn on the news to see the opposite that's happening in so many places. If we demonstrate love, kindness, people are going to love to hear that. If you're not a child of God, you've never used your talent at all. You've never used your talent to help others because you've not chosen to serve Him. And the chance is open right now. Walk out this door knowing that you have the promise of eternity in heaven. That's great hope. You want to sleep great tonight? Have your sins washed away right now. Believe in Him. Mark 16:16, repent of your sins. Acts 17:30, confess Him. Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized. For the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. If you've never done that, right now is the very best time to do it. You can go about your life using your talent for God, serving Him, and you can go home, out these doors, and know that no matter what, heaven will await you as your eternal reward. If you've done that, but maybe you've fallen short, you've not lived the way that you should, you've not been the Christian that you need to be, we will pray with you and pray for you, encourage you. It's a great blessing that God's given us to have our brothers and sisters, that we all aren't looking to get that last spot, but that we all together can go to heaven, and we all can encourage each other and love each other all the way. If you have need tonight, whether it be to become a child of God or for the congregation to pray with you and pray for you, to encourage you, if you have that need, would you come as we stand and sing?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to His voice. Hear Him today, hear Him today. They who believe in His name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling.